I want to read from Habakkuk. I always say Habakkuk. How do you say it? Habakkuk. Okay. Anyway, this is in chapter 3, verse 17. He says, I love this passage. I love a lot of passages, but it says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, this is kind of depressing, right? Though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And so Habakkuk, he expresses an attitude again. We were talking about that earlier. That no matter how bad things get, he's going to rejoice in the Lord and be joyful in God his Savior. And so this is a place where spiritual victory takes place in our lives. This is an advanced concept. What makes it advanced is because joy is not the result of something good happening in the world. Joy in the world is a choice. Verse 18, he says, I will rejoice. Not I might, or I could, or it depends. He says, I will rejoice. And he says, I will be joyful. And that's when everything's going bad. That's on the worst day. He's stating what he's going to do. He's not saying that he will rejoice at some future point when something good happens. Like, you know, he says, I'm not rejoicing now, but I will sometime. Because sooner or later something's good to go. He's not saying that. He's not saying he will rejoice when he finds romance. Or he's not saying he's going to rejoice when he gets his tax return. In this example, Habakkuk is talking about what he will do when everything is wrong. And so you could ask that question to yourself. You know, what will you do when everything is wrong? He's talking about financial ruin. Times when you can't pay your bills. Times when the stock market is diving. Times when there's the threat of a virus pandemic. He says, even then, he says, I will rejoice and be joyful. And so that's a choice that he makes in his life. It's when you are in the throes of disaster and defeat in your life, it's at that time that when you choose to trust God, that is when you experience the greatest gains in your life. I mean, when you are at the bottom, when everything is completely at its worst moment, and you make the choice that I'm going to be joyful, I'm going to praise my Lord, it's at that place that gains are made. You know, if you overcome little problems, you gain a little. You know, you can be a little happier. I was a little happier the sun came out today. You know, your confidence and faith grows, you know, if God answers, you know, some of your prayers and things like that. Or if something good happens, you know, you will rejoice in that, but there's not a lot of gain in that. By gain, what I mean is eternal steadfastness. You know, when you get happy because things go good, that really doesn't do anything for your steadfastness or your ability to remain joyful when things aren't going good. Just being happy when things are great, that doesn't have a lot of power to make you someone who can't become immovable. But when you overcome great problems, that's when you grow by leaps and bounds. It's when you make that decision in that moment, because it's not easy. I mean, have you guys been in a bad moment at some place? And it's hard to choose to have the right attitude during a hard time. When everything's impossible. I mean, it can seem impossible to have the right attitude. But that's when you do. That's when you grow by leaps and bounds. Because then little things, once you've learned to be joyful during the hardest things in your life, little things that seem like mountains yesterday, suddenly they're not such a big deal. You know, you're not, your day is not being ruined because your shoelace broke in the morning. You know, some things just aren't that big a deal. And that changes according to how you react when things do happen. And so when you're in those bad moments and you make a decision, I will rejoice, I will be joyful, that sets you up for the daily troubles that you face to become small, and gives you the ability to keep your joy and to be joyful. Bad things lose their ability to rob you of your joy. And that's probably one of the hardest things, one of the biggest ways you'll get robbed by the devil, is simply by some circumstance. But when bad things happen to good people, you know, it could be like a child being bullied. That's bad. Parents losing a child. The human way to love when something happens bad to someone is to show sympathy by making a big deal out of someone's pain. You know, oh, you poor thing. The more sympathy you show, the better person you are. You know, having empathy for people is good. And, you know, there's a proper way to show sympathy. But making a shrine to pain, that will not bring healing to anyone. Sometimes people, you know, take on more pain in their life than the person who was hurt. I'm just so hurt today. Well, you know, I'm just feeling so depressed. Well, why are you hurt? Why are you depressed? Well, because my BFF, my best friend forever, you know, her boyfriend broke up with her. You know, it's your pain and depression that make you a good person. Because you're so shook up by what happened to her or what happened to someone else. And so that's kind of how our society thinks today. You know, and if you don't just go to the bottom of the pit with everybody else, then somehow you're just not a caring person. And I'm just going to tell you something. That's a lie. Making a big deal out of loss over and over is not good. It only makes the heart sicker. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And so the answer to disappointment is to choose to be joyful. Call me ugly. Call me stupid. Don't invite me to your party. I will rejoice. I will be joyful in my God. Steal my child. Corrupt my husband. Push me into bankruptcy. No matter how my enemy attacks me, I will choose to rejoice. Standing in faith to believe God for good things, I mean, that's good. You know, it's good when you believe for healing and you receive your healing. It's good to believe for your provisions and receive provisions. You're going to rejoice in those times without anyone telling you to do so. If you have a big need in your life and you're believing God for it, and God comes through miraculously to supply for your need, I'm not going to have to tell you to rejoice. You know, you're going to be thrilled with that. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So naturally we feel good when good things happen. But it's the attitude of I will rejoice during the battle, during the sickness, in the midst of mind-numbing loss of a loved one, in the midst of being bullied, that's when the good stuff happens. That's when you have an opportunity to grow by leaps and bounds in your life and in your steadfastness and in your relationship to God and in the way that you relate to the world around you. It's more exciting to talk about victory, the victory side of faith. I mean, you know, it's exciting to receive miraculous provisions from an impossible need. It's exciting to overcome the prognosis of death. We like to talk about the things that faith can accomplish. Those are fun. But we don't talk much about the value of faith during the storm. You know, it isn't exciting to talk about perseverance or patience or long suffering. The value of those things. It isn't as exciting to talk about those things as it is the receiving part of our faith. You know, we usually talk about overcoming doubt and unbelief by, you know, well, you need to pray in the Spirit, and you need to read the Word, and go to church, and tithe, and grow in, you know, these things. But we don't emphasize the value of making a choice to rejoice regardless of the circumstance. We project victory at the end of a battle. We talk about, you know, we're believing God, and we're going to believe in God's going to come through. And when we finally receive, it's going to be wonderful. And we get all excited, about what's going to happen tomorrow or when that finally happens. And we project a time when we will be happy. But we don't talk about having the same joy when things are not going well. Like when the healing hasn't come, or it didn't come. The finances didn't get fixed. The child wasn't raised from the dead. I mean, that's the stuff that we don't want to talk about. Some people feel shame, not joy, during bad times. As if it's somehow it's an implication of who they are. You know, failing to receive a miracle is like having an uncle in jail. You know, no one ever mentions it. Failing to receive finances is like, you know, having a mom with her bottle of vodka under the sink. You know, you don't like to talk about those kinds of things. We'd rather not deal with those kinds of things. Yet a failed crop or some sort in your life is a very common thing. There isn't any of us that have not suffered any number of kinds of attacks, disappointments, hardships, pains, disappointment. All the time, lots of them. As Christians, as people of faith, there seem to be a few people here and there that seem to have it all. I don't know that they do, but there's a few people seem like they have it pretty good. But for most people, they experience failed crops way more than they would like to admit. Things are a lot tougher in their life than they would like to talk about. And so my message isn't to try and try again. One day, you're going to get it, and you're going to be so happy, happy, happy. Just keep trying. That's not my message. My message is don't wait. Rejoice right now. Rejoice today. Rejoice in this moment. Amen. I will be joyful. Good or bad. Don't give away your heart to the enemy. Why cede time to him? Don't let the devil define when you are going to rejoice and when you're not going to rejoice. I'm going to tell you something. All those people who think that they're winning because everything's going good for them, they're in for a rude awakening. Because when things turn bad, instead of joy, all they're going to know is panic. Because they've never had the opportunity to practice having joy during hard times or difficult times. They've never learned to stand against those things and maintain their joy and their peace. And so that's a foreign thought to them. And so they've had it so good and things have been so great. So when something turns bad, they just crumble. They're just going to crumble because they have no experience with wrestling with the enemy. You know, you chose to rejoice in your time of great sorrow while being attacked. And so now your current troubles, they seem light and momentary. So you are you're easily able to be joyful while others are sick with fear. And you know, it's easy for you to maintain a merry heart when you've been doing that all along with all the struggles that you face. It's easy because you've already been doing that. They've only rejoiced because things were easy, and so they don't have that experience. And so now current problems seem insurmountable to them. And they can't imagine. They can't imagine anything that's good, because they haven't practiced rejoicing in the times that they needed to. Philippians 4:11 says this: "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance." This is Paul speaking. He says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty." And he says, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." Can we all say that? "Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." And so he had a confidence, not because things always went well for him, but because he made a choice no matter what was going on in his life. He became immune to disappointments. He would never, no disappointment, no attack, no could steal from him his attitude of being joyful towards his God. Every time Paul was threatened, every time he was beat or thrown into prison, he had to make a choice: give in to fear or trust God. When he was imprisoned with Silas after being beat, he and Silas sang songs of praise and rejoiced in the depths of the prison. And all the other prisoners listened to them singing songs of praise to God, and a miracle took place. Their chains fell off, and the prison doors flew open. They didn't know. Here's the deal, though. They didn't know that was going to happen when they were singing those songs. They didn't start singing those songs after that stuff happened. They did that on the front side, when they were laying there bloodied and in pain, and you know, the stings of the whips and all of that, and the, you know, in the chains that they were shackled in. That's when they were doing their rejoicing. They were rejoicing on the front side of good. Paul came to a place where he was just as happy during a crisis as he was with a miracle. And I don't know, we put a lot of emphasis on miracles. I mean, I think most of us would be are excited about a miracle, especially if you experience it. That's pretty exciting stuff. But Paul was just as excited without the miracle. Imagine if you could maintain that kind of joy and peace and excitement in your life no matter what was going on. Cold day, hot day, didn't make any difference. You know, you marched to a different drum beat. All the things that made everybody else sick and depressed and made them want to give up and all of those kinds of things, you know, you're just immune to that. Where we would jump up and down over a miracle, we would run to church and we would scream, "Praise God, you're not going to believe what the Lord did for me today." We'd be all pumped up. Well, Paul would do the same thing during the crisis. And I just think that's amazing. I think that's a gift that I want to have in my life. I mean, anybody can be excited when the miracle happens. But how many people can be that excited without a miracle? That isn't the kind of thing that we talk about. We only like to talk about getting the miracle. Run, boy, run. Go with me to Acts chapter 27, verse 21. "After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, 'Men, you should have taken my advice and not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" That's encouraging news. I suppose opposed to death it was. I don't know. You don't always get what you think you need. Couldn't God have made the storm go away? I think there's stories in the Bible about the storm going away. Wouldn't that have been a lot more convenient? That would have been a lot nicer, wouldn't it? Couldn't God make the storm go away? You know, they're going to be okay. But they're going to go on a scary ride. They weren't rejoicing. Paul was rejoicing. They're going to go into the ocean. The ship's going down. They could have, I guess, all cried in each other's arms. They could have written letters to their loved ones and stuck them in bottles. I don't know. They could have chosen to just take their own lives before, you know, some shark started biting at their feet. They could have imagined, who knows what they could have imagined, what they could have done. I mean, that's what normal people do. But Paul trusts God. Still, and so he rejoices. But it doesn't matter to him how cold the water's going to be or how much salt water he's going to drink. How uncomfortable it's going to be. Paul chooses to rejoice in God regardless of the circumstances. You know, we're headed for some tough times. Paul didn't choose his circumstances. He told them not to sail. He didn't get himself into that. But he didn't let it spoil his attitude either. You're not always going to be able to choose the circumstance in your life either. But you can always choose to praise God. I don't care what shipwreck you're facing in your life. You need to learn to trust God and rejoice. All of us do. Or you'll end up with a crushed spirit. And you're going to be sickly when you should be strong. Because fear is going to sap your strength. You need to have the attitude of Habakkuk and Paul. I will rejoice. I will be joyful. Let others worship their pain and the pain of others if they want. I'm not saying don't have empathy, but I'm just telling you, don't surrender your choice to rejoice and be joyful. Don't, or you can believe that you can believe God for, you know, a luxury if you want, but you may not be plucked off your ship that's sinking and put on a luxury cruise liner in a first-class cabin. Things may not go that way for you. But you can be just as happy, regardless. I encourage you to take opportunities that you have with your current troubles that you face. Whatever it is, to practice being joyful. Practice rejoicing in God always. Always use disappointments for that opportunity. So that when real troubles come, and when things really heat up, you don't go mad with fear. You are going to make it. Just like all those people on that ship that Paul told, we're going to make it. God is going to make you into a valuable instrument. You already are a valuable instrument. People will clamor to receive your blessing. They will pay you for a prayer and will be wise for doing so. Not because you have everything easy, but because of your confidence in God. You're going to be the only thing that they see that isn't being torn up by the roots. You're going to be the only thing that's not shaking and falling apart. And that's why they'll clamor to you for help and advice and encouragement. Because they haven't practiced that in their life. Psalms 112:7 says this, they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That's the experience God wants you to have. No matter what they say about pandemics or stock markets or presidents or any of that kind of stuff, to just be steadfast and not to have a fear that the rest of the world experiences. And it is that steadfastness that will give you the ability to live in joy every day of your life, regardless of the current news cycle. You can be immune to all the troubles that come to the world. You'll be healthy, not because you have stored up food or because you ate vegetables like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego along with David, but because you rejoice in the Lord and His word is your food. And that's the opportunity, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about tonight. Just being steadfast and learning to practice the concept, like Habakkuk said, I will rejoice though the crops fail, though there's no sheep in the pen, cattle in the stall, though everything is barren and downcast, and I can't see one bit of evidence. Who was it, Elijah? At least when he prayed for rain, he looked out there over the sea, and after praying like seven times, he saw a little hand of smoke, little tiny cloud. He says, run for the hills, the rain's a-coming. At least he saw something. Yet we have the ability to have that same excitement in our life without seeing any circumstance. Just to make the choice, I will rejoice. Throw at me whatever you want. You know, the enemy can come at you in so many directions. He can do it through friends. He can do it from bullies. He can do it from any number of things. He will attack you with it. And so that's not going to stop. But you can stop giving him the power to take your joy away. Stop giving him the power to cause you to stop rejoicing. And you know, you don't have to wait to feel excited to make a decision. That's the great thing about rejoicing and being joyful. It's a choice that we make. And as we make that daily in our lives, over and over and over and over again, then all the things that trouble the world, suddenly we become immune to. If you want a vaccination from the troubles of this life, learn to be joyful during the hard time, because that's when the work is done. Okay, that's when the muscle mass is added. That's that's when the good stuff takes place, and when good things happen, you can rejoice in that, but never rejoice less because they're not happening. Because God has already shined His light upon you. He's already given you His favor. He's already made you the head, not the tail. He looks at you as if you are an absolute perfect child. Your destiny is glory forever and ever. You will rule over the angels of heaven. You have every advantage that there is. If God is for you, who can be against you? And you just have to have that confidence and then just refuse to let anything else have an impact on your life. Rejoice. And, you know, I'll guarantee you, you know, if you carry that in your life, people are going to be looking at you more than once. Your wife's going to wonder what happened to you. Your husband's going to think you flipped out. Your coworkers are going to think you went loco. And but I'll tell you what, it's a great thing. To have the confidence of the love of Jesus Christ in our life. And I don't know if you appreciate this message or not, but it's a good message. Amen. And you know, it's a Sunday night service, and there's not as many of us here maybe as sometimes, but I didn't shortchange you, okay? Yeah. I gave you the best I had. And so, praise God, I hope you feel honored by God. God loves you tremendously, and good things are going to happen for you.